I want to invite you to give your attention to the reading of God's Word. In the 60th chapter, the prophet Isaiah offers a word of hope and a word of promise from God. Hear this word from the 60th chapter of Isaiah. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall be acceptable on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house." This is the word of God, and may God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His holy word. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You know, today in the church calendar is a day that we call Epiphany. And it's the end of the Christmas season, the beginning of a new year, a day in which we finish up our story, reminding ourselves of the light of a star that gathered wise men from the east, the light of Jesus that breaks into the world on Christmas morning, continues to shine us into a new year. And we pause and we reflect on the light of the world. So my prayer for you on this first Sunday of a new year is that you will let that light continue to shine. And I want to talk a little bit about that light, but I want to tell you about a hobby of mine. I love astronomy, and I love stargazing. And I know this may come as a shock to some of you, but I'm a bit of a nerd. And in 1997, a group of friends and I, also a group of my high school buddies who were quite nerds themselves, we got really excited because in 1997, in April of 97, the comet Hale-Bopp appeared. And it's the brightest comet that's been visible to our eye in my lifetime, in most of our lifetime. And so I grew up in Hattiesburg, and Hattiesburg is a pretty good-sized city, and it's hard to see the stars at night in Hattiesburg. And so we drove out a little bit north of town to a community called Lux, and there's the sign, L-U-X, Lux, Mississippi. Anybody ever been to or through Lux? You turn off Highway 49, about 15 or so miles north of Mississippi, of Hattiesburg, rather, and there's Lux. And it's kind of out in the sticks, out in the boonies. And so we went out to Lux because there's a big field right out there, and we could sit out and see the stars and see this amazing comet. And what's amazing about it is that when you get out, and you've probably had this experience, even if you've never been to Lux, when you get out into the country, the stars look different, don't they? They look brighter and clearer, and there are more of them. And you realize how much we miss because of the way that we live our life now, inside all the time, with television and smartphones and screens. We don't ever really get outside much. And when we do, we look down or we don't look around or we're blinded by all the other lights at night and we miss the brilliance of the stars. And what hit me as I laid down there in that field and looked up at this beautiful comet and all these beautiful stars, it hit me that that's the same basic night sky that those wise men saw. When they looked up at the stars, it's the same sky. The season that we've just come out of Christmas is often referred to as the season of light. A season in which we reflect on how much light is important to us and how in the birth of Jesus we are told that Jesus is the light of the world. But one question that often comes up is, particularly when we talk about the lights of the star that guide the wise men in the story, is what exactly did they see? Now, here we go. I know you've all been ready for an astronomy lesson this morning, right? I'll try to be as brief as I can. I just get really excited about this stuff. A United Methodist layman and astrophysicist named Nick Strobel offered several thoughts about what might have the wise men seen. What light in the night sky got their attention and got them to travel from their home all the way across the wilderness to Bethlehem? And he offers a few theories. First, as he said, well, they might have seen a supernova. And a supernova is a new star. It's the birth of a new star out of the remnants of a dying star. There was actually a supernova that occurred around the year 5 BC. And perhaps that's what they saw. Here's a little secret. I didn't tell the first service this, so you're getting some good stuff here. At least what I think. So there's a star in the constellation Orion. Does everyone know what Orion is? It's the hunter. You can see him now. He's out in the night sky during the winter. Go out and you'll see Orion. On his right shoulder is the star Betelgeuse. Now, some of you love the movie from the 80s, right? I won't say it three times. It's the star Betelgeuse. And Betelgeuse is 650 light years away. It's a big, bright red star. It's one of the brightest stars in the sky, the brightest star in the Orion's constellation. Over the last several months, however, it's been dimming. It's been getting less and less bright, which leads astronomers and astrophysicists to suspect that it's close to being a supernova star. Might happen tonight, might happen 100,000 years from now, relatively speaking. But it's a possibility in our lifetime that we'll see a supernova appear on the shoulder of Orion. And I want to tell you and give you a heads up, because when it happens, don't get worried, don't freak out, okay? It's just part of what happens to stars. So maybe they saw a supernova. So if you look up in the night sky and see a big, brilliant star where Betelgeuse used to be, maybe that's what the wise men saw. But here's the thing. Supernovas really don't move. They certainly don't travel like the star did in the scripture. So maybe it wasn't that. Another thought that he had was perhaps it was a comet. As I said, Hale-Bopp, and there she is, Hale-Bopp, might have been a comet that the wise men saw. In fact, Halley's comet did pass by in the year 4 BC, and comets move, and so you could follow a comet. But in the ancient world, comets were signs of bad omens. So it's doubtful the wise men would have decided to follow that thing, because wherever it was leading may not be good. But it's a possibility, right? You see a brilliant light in the sky and it travels, and so maybe that's what they saw. Another recommendation that Professor Strobel had is that perhaps it was a planetary conjunction. Okay, stay with me. This is going to make sense. Stay with me. You know, some of those stars up in the night sky are actually planets. And because the planets are orbiting around the sun and they're moving, sometimes they get close to each other. And what might look like one star, all of a sudden, when two planets get close to each other, the solar system, they get close enough to each other, they become a brilliant, bigger light. And maybe that's what they saw. Two planets come together and a brilliant light shines in a new way. So maybe it was a planetary conjunction. Finally, and this is one of my favorite things to explain, is maybe they saw a planet go in retrograde. All right, stay with me. You've been so good. You've been so good, class. When a planet goes in retrograde, it means, like Jupiter, for instance. Jupiter, around the years that Christ was born, often went into to retrograde. And what retrograde is simply this. Have you ever been on the highway and you're traveling next to a big truck and you're going the same speed and all of a sudden that truck starts to slow down? For a second, doesn't it look like that truck starts to go backwards? You ever had that sensation, right? That's what it is when a planet goes into retrograde, meaning Earth and the other planet circling the sun, and we go in the same speed, and all of a sudden, because of the differences in our orbits, we keep going one speed, and the other planet goes another speed, and it looks like, for a little bit, like the planet's going backwards from where it was going. So if you're an astrologer, if you're a guy, a wise king in the east, and you see a planet that used to go that way, and all of a sudden it looks like it's going the other way, that might get your attention, right? Okay, here's the thing. We have no idea what they saw. No idea. And quite honestly, if it's a miracle, it could be completely unexplained by our scientific phenomenon. But here's the thing that I want you to get at the point at. Whatever those wise men saw, I'm willing to bet a whole bunch of other people saw it. Whether it was a supernova or a comet or planetary conjunctions or Jupiter going into retrograde, or if God just put a new bright light in the sky, other people saw it. The difference is these wise men decided to do something about what they saw. This new light called to them, and they followed. And that's the difference. That's the one difference between those who will miss out on the light and those who won't. Do you have eyes to see the light of the world? Sometimes I get asked a question as a pastor, why doesn't God speak to us like he did in the Bible? And my response is, he does. We just have stopped listening. We've stopped noticing. We've stopped seeing all the miracles and all the light in this world. And we've buried ourselves in our smartphones and in our news and in the busyness of life. And sometimes we miss the fact that there's a new bright light in the world. And we look around for all other reasons, all other places of hope. My prayer for all of us this new year is that the light that we have just finished singing about and celebrating and giving presents because in eating probably too much than we should, all of that good joy that we've just experienced, that we will not let that go. That light, which burns brightly now in us, that we'll continue to kindle it, continue to allow the Spirit of God to shine in our hearts. And as John writes in his first chapter of his gospel, the light that has come into the world, that the darkness will not and cannot overcome that light, and that we would hold fast to that truth. So just this week, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer to God. God, show me the light. Sometimes you've said that prayer, right? I have no idea what to do next. Show me the light. But earnestly and honestly pray that. God, keep showing me ways in this week where your light is shining. Because, I'm right there with you. When I open my news app in the morning and I see all that's going on in this world, all of the darkness that is encroaching on us, you can feel discouraged. And so pray and ask God, God, will you just show me more light? Help me to be aware of it. Help me to see it. Help me to share it. Help me not to become discouraged by the darkness of this world, but to allow your light, born in Bethlehem, to be born anew each and every morning in my heart. An example of this happens to me every time I drive home to Hattiesburg. So on Wednesday, on New Year's Day, I drove to my mom's house because I had to have the black eyed peas and the cabbage and all the other good stuff, right? And mom cooks a good dinner. And she likes it when her kids come home. So we drove to Hattiesburg, drove down south on Highway 49. And every time I do that, I pass that little turn off with that little bitty sign that says Lux. And I remember that night back in 97 where me and my cool high school buddies laid out on that field to see that comet. Now, if you haven't had enough astronomy, let me tell you something a little bit about Latin. Lux, Mississippi. The word lux is Latin for light. May the light of Christ continue to burn brightly in your life. And may God put signs in your path this week to remind you that the light will never be overcome by the darkness. Amen.